we're going to be looking at right now the continuing series on seven evil spirits based on Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. And those who have been following us, you see what's really going on, because the unseen world is more real than the seen world. What you can see is very real, but the real action happens in the unseen world. That's where it goes on. That's where it happens. And these spirits are determined to destroy your life and your family. They're absolutely, the only purpose they have is to send as many people to the pit as they possibly can. And one of the ways they do it is through the occult, through the working of the devil, through the working of these spirits behind the scenes. And what is going on in this world, if you step out of that moment and look heavenward and see the root cause, you discover what's happening. Canaanite spirit, we've been dealing with it. It's extremely, extremely active. Well, some may say, well, I don't believe all that. That's fine. That's fine if you don't believe it. It's up to you. Doesn't change anything, but it's up to you. Canaanite spirit is the one that is behind all the addictions. Bible said that. I've read you, I don't know how many verses so far. The addictions, the alcoholism, the drug addiction, the perversions, all that perversion, whatever it is, transgender, that's perversion. The gay agenda, perversion, anything that perverts the gospel, Canaanite spirit is right there. Now, the goal of the Canaanite spirit is to keep people from redemption and salvation, to repent. Now, we're going to look at a scripture, going to look at quite a number of them today. John chapter number 16, verse 8, Jesus speaking. And see, the Canaanite spirit perverts sound judgment. Sound judgment. Well, I just did it because I just did it because I just did it. And I went up there and I just did it. Sound judgment. Here's what Jesus said in John 16, 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Notice that the prince of this world is judged. When he is come, he will do what? Reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then, 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See, so he's telling us right there that these spirits out there are very active. And there's going to come a time when judgment will happen. That's why people say, well, you can't judge me. I'm not going to be judged by anybody. That preacher down there can't tell me what to do. See, that spirit in the Canaanites in operation. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what that's saying is apply spiritual judgments to your life, not carnal judgments. Apply spiritual judgments. That's what it's talking about. That's working out your own salvation. I'm going to apply spiritual judgments, not earthly judgments. That's why I hear people say, well, you know, I'm just going to do what I want to do. And that's why. That's why. Let's go to Luke chapter 7, verse 31. Luke chapter 7. I want you to see something here. Because we're dealing with these spirits that are in full operation. Just read you that. When I come, Jesus said, I'll bring judgment. Okay? They're in full operation. At Calvary, Jesus won the battle, but they're still in full operation. You don't think so? You know better than that. Luke 7:31. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation as to what they are like? All right, so he's asking a couple questions. Number one, what shall I liken to the men of this generation? And number two is, what are they like? All right, 32. They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. See, in the days in which Jesus lived, it was very common for the children to go to the marketplace, like unto children sitting in the marketplace. And they're playing, calling one to another. And they're saying, we have piped on you, or we played the music for you, and you've not danced. And then on the other side, we mourn for you and you have not wept. So we don't know what we want. We don't know to be joyful and we don't know to be sad. That's this generation. They don't know what to do. Now look at this, 33. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say, he has a devil. So that's one like unto. Here's the other one, 34. The Son of Man is coming, eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. See what happens? So if you are like John, you have a devil. If you're like Jesus, who fellowshipped, then you're a winebibber. So what you do, know what happens? These spirits operate. Now let's drop down to verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now notice who he's eating with, the Pharisee. By the way, let me just explain something about the Pharisees. Everybody gets on the Pharisee's case. Don't do that. The Pharisees are the one that were stood up for the scripture, not the scribes. They didn't stand up. All they were secretaries. It was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were scriptural pure. They wanted the Torah. And the scribes worked for the Pharisees for money to transcribe the scriptures. But the Pharisees were the ones that preserved the scriptures during the Roman occupations. It was the Pharisees. And if it wasn't for the Pharisees that everybody gets on their case, there'd been no scripture preservation. Think about it. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So he's eating dinner. 37. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box full of ointment. Now, what is interesting is that the Pharisee allowed this woman, everybody says it was Mary Magdalene. wasn't Mary Magdalene. All right. Scriptural background tells me it's not. It was another one of the Marys. There's like three or four of them. Mary Magdalene, it wasn't her. All right? Now it says, one place it says, Mary Magdalene, whom he cast out seven devils. You know, Mary Magdalene and all this stuff. Okay, that's another. Open that up another time. All right. And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, 38, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, where is she? She's in the Pharisee's house. And they know, quote unquote, she is a sinner, an unbeliever. Okay? And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, right now things have changed. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who was a matter of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Wow. You see? So she's doing a good thing. The Pharisee thinking that the prophet is allowing this woman to touch him and anoint him, and that's a bad thing. And that goes back to the piping and the dancing. Now, let me show you something. Let's go a little deeper here. You know what the curse of the Canaanites is? You know what the curse of the Canaanites? Wow, what's the curse of the Canaanites? All right, let's see. Numbers 21, verse 1 through 3. Here's the curse of the Canaanites. Curse? Yeah, curse. Let's go to Numbers 21, verse 1. Watch this. Curse of the Canaanites. Numbers 21, verse 1. And when the king of Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. Now watch this, verse 2. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt deliver this people into my hand. Look at this. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou would indeed deliver this people unto my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Three. And the Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them, their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormath. Now, I want you to see something here. I want you to see how to overcome the Canaanite spirit. It's sitting right here. How to overcome the Canaanite spirit. Now, when the king of the Canaanites hated Israel, and he fights against Israel, and he's taking some of them prisoners. He's capturing them. He's captured them. He hates them. Let me tell you something. The Canaanite spirit hates the child of God. And at times, every day, the Canaanite spirit will fight against the child of God in Israel. Look what's happening in Israel today. Hates Israel, and he wants to, the spirit, take some of them prisoners. Child of God, be careful with the Canaanite spirit, the spirit of this age, the spirit that draws. This is how Christians, quote unquote, become alcoholics. This is how they get into drugs. This is how they get into perversion. It's the Canaanite spirit that draws them into these things and then captured them in those things. As a pastor, I've met too many that have fallen into these traps. too many that are now out there, won't go to church, hang out at the bars, on drugs. They become suicidal. It's happened. Been there. Been a pastor too long to know that this hasn't happened. It has. You see, this is how you overcome the Canaanite spirits. Verse 2. Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou indeed deliver this people unto my hand, then I will destroy their cities. What is that you condemn them for destruction with the word of God. You say, okay, Lord, I'm going into agreement with your mouth. You say out loud. Notice Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said. It doesn't say, and Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and thought. Or Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and considered. No, it said and said. They said it out loud. If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will destroy their cities with their mouth. By the way, side note, verse 3 talks about a city called Hormath. Hormath, it means complete, destroy, exterminate. It means to put under a ban, come into total construction and destruction, compromise. That's what it means. It means addictions, and it means entangled in compromise. Look what happens here. 3, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them with their cities. Look at this. And he called the name of the place Hormath. He called the name of the place destruction. He called the name of the place exterminate. That's what that city is talking about here. It talks about a ban. It talks about no compromise. It talks about total destruction without compromise. You cannot compromise the Canaanite spirit. And that's what people want to do today. Please other people. Please other people. Destroy the Canaanite, the cities. Destroy all relationships who carry the Canaanite spirit. There's people you know, being honest, that's carrying this Canaanite spirit. They carry it. See, and what they do is they come around again and again and again and again. Again and again and again and again. That same drug dealer outside the high school over and over and over and over. The child molester over and over and over and over. The alcoholic gotta go and get another drink over and over and over and over. That's the Canaanite spirit in operation. That's how it works. Over and over and over and over and over. That's why there must be destruction of that spirit in people's lives. You got to get rid of it over and over. That's why they say, well, you know, I'll be all right now. And the next day they're not all right. The spirit over and over. Don't you see that? I'm sure you do. Go to Revelation chapter 16. This is a very interesting passage. Verse 2. Let's start with verse 1. Revelation 16, 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Verse 2. And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the what? Earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped the image. 7 vials, 7 evil spirits. seven vials, seven evil spirits. What's the first vial? Poured out his vial upon the earth and fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon they who worshipped the image. See, worship the image. Pleasing the devil, pleasing evil. Operating these spirits. Again, I don't just believe that. I don't see it. Well, it's up to you. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. I'll show you something here. Got it? Proverbs 6, 16. These 16 doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. How many spirits are there? Evil seven, right? Proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that swift and running to mischief. Ooh. 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Tongues of deception. Hear a lot about that lately, don't you? Canaanite judgment. Remember, the Canaanite spirit was involved with the golden calf, the young bull golden calf. And what happens there is that twist truth. The truth is twisted. Yeah. They sacrifice unity. They want to continually have upheaval, division. That's what we've been hearing the last few years, right? This division business, these groups that sow discord. That's the Canaanite spirit. That's a Canaanite spirit. Wicked imagination, swift and running to mischief. Can't you see them just running down the street right now, getting into mischief? A lying witness that speaketh lies. Lying tongue. Notice this. A lying tongue, and then 19, speaking lies. It's all done verbally. All done verbally. Yaddy, yaddy, yaddy. Talk, 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 talk. Lie, 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 lie. And let me figure out a wicked imagination. Let me just think of some things that will destroy somebody. See, this Canaanite spirit has a partner, which we'll talk about coming up. Deals with terror and torment and emotional despair. It's the spirit behind all this stuff. Look at Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Isaiah 28, verse 14. Look at this. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Look at this. 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are in agreement with the overflowing scourge shall pass through, shall not come unto us, for we have made more lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Whoa! Look at this. Look at this. Let's go on, if we dare. Let's look at 16. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, that he believeth shall not make haste. And in 17, Judgment also I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow their hiding place. Or they're going to get what? Flooded. Flooded. God's going to say, woof. 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. 19. For the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over. By day and night, it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Wow. A covenant of death and hell. You've made a covenant with death. That's what the Canaanite spirit will do. They make covenants with death and with hell. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the frog.